I'm an Aries, and this ram has some big horns.
It sounds sexual. I don't even know why. I don't know why.
I may not be in the news, but I certainly spread it.
Oh, I like that.
Thank you. Thank you. It's giving me some like gypsy musical energy. So extra, extra. Hear all about it. I am extremely here for it. You guys, it's Andy's girls. So, I mean, listen, hashtag representation matters. To have someone with an H is for our community is so important. To we see each other,
yep.
To have the H here, and no disrespect to non-H's, but
a little bit.
Slight disrespect. You're almost there. You've almost spelled your name. And that's incredible. And we love that for you. So listen, welcome to the Clawfist for the first time ever. Deputy news editor at usmagazine.com, host of Us Weekly's Bachelor podcast, here for the right reasons, Sarah Herron. Sarah, how are we?
Oh my God, we're exhausted. We're excited. I'm just like, I love this closet. I'm sure you get
Thank you all the time. It's technically, scientifically a Clawfist.
Oh, right. I'm so sorry.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
I'm overwhelmed.
Thank you for being accountable. I really do appreciate that. There's a lot happening in here and I love it. I do really, you know, especially in light of what's going on with Shan and John. I love that I have a small Archipador, a petite Archipador oil painting in here next to one of a guinea pig. I mean, it's really it's a space for healing. It's a space to heal.
How are you doing with Shannon?
I feel like this is not to blame her at all.
No.
But to say that there are certain kinds of toxic men that like when you try to make it work with a toxic man and you're also dealing with your stuff and you guys seem to get connected and attracted to each other, maybe for some of that, it's like writing herself a permission slip. Sometimes you can't get rid of them, especially if you're on reality TV.
Perfectly said.
Like, I think some people are comparing it to Slade. I don't get Slade energy at all. I do get some like an angrier version of Brooks, maybe. Mm-hmm.
I think John is more dangerous than Slade.
100%.
Yeah. Like, and also it's a different time to be doing this. When Slade was like running through Housewives, it felt like people were just so excited about reality TV. And this is like in the year of our Lord 2024, to be like jumping from a housewife to a housewife to get on the program feels crazy because it's just like so transparent. Mm. And I don't know, the stakes just feel different than someone who was doing this a decade ago.
One of my favorite reunion moments, but maybe moments on Housewives, mm-hmm. was the moment from season whatever, because I never remember numbers, where Slade is explaining to Andy why he had to quit the show previously. Right. And Andy looked at him with genuine confusion and some air of bewilderment of like, sir, you were never a housewife. You left the show because
you were no longer dating insert whoever here.
Right. And then Gretchen's next to him too, because she was like nodding along and she looked confused too, because she's like, oh, we're not gonna be able to spend this successfully. Oh, okay, I'll just pretend I don't understand what's happening. I mean, it was a highlight for me, just mm-hmm. in my, it was a milestone for me in my growth and development, frankly, 100%. As a person.
100%.
So how are you feeling about all things Shan and John, future of Shan? I mean, what was your reaction to the People, LOL exclusive
of the lawsuit, specific
headline news, like facelift in the title of the headline, just really aiming for those clicks?
It really was a good headline. I got to give it to them.
I mean, it was petty.
It was petty. And I will say we got our statement. I saw you posted from Shannon pretty quick. So I don't know why they didn't wait to include that in there.
Well, that's the thing. And like, you know this better than anyone working at Us and in the media mm-hmm. empire, media landscape. But certain housewives have certain relationships with reporters,
yes.
writers, content creators, podcasters. Mm-hmm. It's like you can tell when there is some sort of currency exchange. And it's fascinating to me that there seems to be some sort of switch from Shannon potentially having a relationship with it being focused on John. Like, why not? It felt intentional that they were going to press without getting a statement from her. It was an odd choice, and to do it as an exclusive, mm-hmm. it just felt, speaking of transactional, I was like, for John?
There's two things that could have happened here, and this is all just speculation.
No, I love my...
Oh my God, no. So it's literal truth.
It's literal.
Literal truth. Okay. This is just from my perspective of being at Us for 6.5 years. And I mean, the People of it all is always like the go-to, right? Like, it's a constant thing that yeah. we're always up against. Like, what can we get that people, how can we do this differently? And we write differently. So it's that's one thing we have going for us. But people is always like a lot of the go-to for everyone, right? And for something like this, I think two things could have happened. Either Alexis has a really good relationship with someone at People.
Oh,
so because it's like Alexis and John is one, because I think they probably broke the news of her coming back too. Or sometimes with lawsuits and legal stuff, you actually find it before it's public. So there's two ways you get legal documents. Either you're just like, which TMZ is amazing at, is always just surfing the docket, like searching people's names. They have alerts for people. Like sometimes we find court documents organically without even being tipped off, like just because you're looking for stuff or you know, or you are told maybe to look. Other times lawyers give them to the outlet. So they could either have been like, these are the documents we filed, or they could have found them, wanted to get it up first and not be scooped because like another competitor could have been finding those documents.
I mean, I don't know if you're like going through the LA or Orange County dossier and doing a search for like facelift
or like
quiet
someone,
woman. I don't know.
Someone who works there is like,
yeah,
you know, someone at People who's like, oh, there's one of this could be, you know, interesting for you. Like, but it probably was more like an Alexis, hey, like this is about to be filed and like whatever.
I don't know that it's Alexis, because I remember when mm-hmm. John broke up with Shan.
He did go to People.
He did it as an exclusive to People. This man was like, I just want to let everyone know that while Shannon says I love the press, that's certainly not true. But I also have an exclusive. He's not even
yeah.
a reality TV star. He's not even the personality. He's this like not very well liked boy. It's not yeah. like. Honestly, it's so much darker than Slade.
He just must have a direct line to someone at People then that he texts. And he's like, this is because sometimes they get in, you know, you get in your head about it. And he thinks he's like a member of the royal family that needs to be breaking news on a Friday night after everything that went down that day. Like, he's delusional enough and they give him the press. And I will say, in the US perspective, Orange County, even in the years that would be considered like where people were like, oh, this is a flop now, like the last yeah. couple, whatever, not recent, but seasons before, still is one of our highest trafficked Housewives franchise.
Why do you think that
Orange
is?
County and Beverly Hills do the best and New Jersey for US Weekly traffic. I don't know why. I think it's just like, I think some of the names are like just bigger and like have carried weight for all these years. Your Teresa Giudice, your Tamara, your Vicky, Kyle Richards, Lisa Vanderpump, like we can write a not as exciting story about one of those people, like an interview clip, and that would do better than like the biggest story ever from Salt Lake City. It's crazy.
It would do better than Monica?
Monica did decent, but not as good as it should have for like how big it was, just US Weekly traffic wise. It's crazy. And every outlet has their own version of that. So I'm sure Orange County does really well for People.
I honestly am. Is it weird that my reaction is like, I'm proud of Orange County? I did not expect that.
No, even in the years that were considered like those flop seasons a couple years ago, Orange County still trafficked for us. And like, obviously, if it's like how New York Housewives with Page Six and The Post.
Right.
Which makes sense because of like geographically. But like every outlet, I feel like, has their niche where we all cover everything, but like are trying to actively beat each other always. But I mean, and I can only speak from an US perspective, but I know our traffic numbers, and like every franchise just does differently and it changes season by season, but there's consistent people, and Tamara, Shannon, Vicky are up there for us that are always going to do well no matter what it is.
What to you in your 6.5 years at US, what to you was the like your largest story?
In Bravo or ever?
Bravo.
Well, probably Scandal.
Right.
Because US Weekly also had decent authority on Vanderpump Rules because we covered it. Like, everyone on our staff loved it and we covered it a lot anyway. So that's a huge part of it. It's like, if it's a show you're already covering, you like rank higher in Google. You like have a voice. Like, it you tend to do better. So when something like that happened, all of our years of covering that show paid off. Same thing with like me and The Bachelor. I've been covering The Bachelor for so long that whereas like People gets a lot of longer exclusives and stuff, my stuff does decent because I've been, my name, The Bachelor, whatever, has been covered for so long. So like Google recognizes that and it changes all the time. But that's like the like insidery baseball that I kind of understand of how this stuff works. But Bravo was probably Vanderpump Rules or Teresa Giudice going to jail, which was technically before my time, but did really well.
And with the scandal of it all, because US and because you had relationships from covering mm-hmm. all things VPR for so long, did you have people from the cast reaching out to you? Like, how does that work from an access perspective?
Well, it's interesting with Bravo because I mean, they all go rogue on Instagram so quickly. It's so funny that, like, I remember James, like, confirming that within 2 seconds of TMZ posting it.
And I was Ariana's
like,
brother.
Yeah. And Ariana deleting Instagram. Like, it worked out so well because when something like that breaks and it's like source reporting from another outlet, the first thing you have to do as a writer, a reporter, a news director is try to confirm it yourself. But then if you see your competitors confirm it, you're like, okay, that's like reports. So that's like enough. If I trust people, like if I know what they, I know what they're probably thinking, so we can go with it, but you still want your own confirmation. And everyone has their own like relationships. But Bravo also, you know, they don't keep their talent too, they keep their talent pretty close. So you can't get too close to them without being, you know, with Bravo as the, you know, part of it. But it was definitely a very chaotic like week after of things coming out and trying from different sides and trying to piece it together. I think even on the episode, you hear Ariana say, like, Tom Sandoval's people went to Us Weekly and are trying to say that I was like aware of this or like compliant or in an open relationship or like trying to spin something like that. Like they broke the wall of that happening, which was interesting because I'm pretty sure someone who was at Us at the time like had a relationship with Tom Sandoval's manager, like not in a shady way, just in a like they knew each other way. So they were one of the first people to like confirm to us, but give it like their own spin. And then we had to be like, okay, well, like, what do we want to do with this? And like, what do we believe? And it becomes like a whole thing, but it was on the record. It wasn't like a shady thing. I don't know. It's crazy.
How do you feel about the storytelling on VPR right now?
I mean, as a viewer, I don't know. I kind of like, I feel bad. I know that sounds so stupid, but like saying like, I'm over it or I'm bored because I don't really know what else they were supposed to do.
Mm.
And like, not that they need my sympathy or anything. These people are all doing very well. But like, the only thing that I think would have made more sense is if they could have found a way to just turn the season around much quicker. Like, I know on the Bravo schedule, this is when Vanderpump Rules airs. But I think if they could have done it where this aired in the fall, we all still would have been like clamoring for all of these details. But like, even the fact that they just filmed the reunion already and there's still like 8 episodes to air, I'm just like annoyed. Because even the Scandoval reunion, it was great that they were so fresh, but we needed, like, so much happened already after that we missed. Or even on, like, I feel like they obviously filmed, like, that Potomac reunion and, like, Karen's DUI won't be in it. Like, it's just, it's really unfortunate that the news changes so much and affects the shows. And even as part of the news, I'm like, it was fascinating to watch that Scandoval season, but, like, part of me wishes we had a Salt Lake City version where we didn't know this was going to happen. So I'm always conflicted also as, like, a fan and then as part of it. When I hear things like, do I want to know? Do I want to be spoiled? And then this season, I got to say, like, I hate myself for it. But like, I really enjoyed that scene with Jax and James and Tom and Dom.
Oh, my God.
Like, I was like, why didn't they just bring them back? Like, and do it this way? Because Jax did. He's awful, but brought like breath of fresh is the wrong word. Like a cloud of darkness that we needed to like move story.
He's very charismatic. And the thing of it is, he came in so friendly.
Yeah.
And then he just gets into a place where he's like, hey, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, yeah, you're a piece of shit. I mean, but then who isn't? I mean, it's just, it was to me a little bit fascinating to see their interaction because it felt like he was trying to spin it as a little lighter than it could frankly ever be because he was able to eat out on the scale.
Yeah.
Like everybody else was. I mean, it was a content bonanza.
And it kind of just brought me back to like, obviously Scandoval is the biggest thing that's ever happened on Vanderpump Rules, right? But we're dealing with these people who have, not to sound like Scandoval, all cheated on each other. And they've always found a way to film these scenes and go on. I'm not blaming Ariana or anyone for not wanting to. They're older. This is crazy. This was like extremes. But someone like Jax and Tom Schwartz, who are like, you know, ridiculous humans, but that's what you need on reality shows if we're going to keep going like this. Or they needed to change the formula because the formula was still just filming what was happening and them not. It's like too much about the fact that they're not really making the show the way they should be making the show.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
It 100% does. And I think the difficulty now is, whatever the fuck is going on with Lala and Ariana and Lala and Katie. Lala has been posting some fucking shit about Katie. And I'm like, I believe that it's real. But I also think, how are we going to move forward with this if Lala and Katie are entirely on an island by themselves? And I do not
want to see either of them go. No. I mean, it's just a very odd dynamic where it's not all against one, but there is a little bit of a majority, even if the majority itself is split.
Which is why I, you know, far be it, usually I'm the last one to be like, we need to add cast members, especially Vanderpump in the past, not usually very successful in adding new blood. But if we're going to put Jax and Brittany and Kristen back on the network anyway, why not bring them on to this? And like, or even like, even Christy and Christina Kelly, like we needed people that have history that are going to film with each other. Or this is to quote Spencer Pratt of all people, but he said on a podcast, he was like, if Raquel came back, the producers would have let her bring on two friends or so. And then she would have had people to film with. We would have had more things to be like, more scenes. It just like, I know why she didn't come back, but the ball would have been in her court. They would have like catered to her because she would have needed people to film with. And I think that also would have helped move the story along. Instead, we're stuck. We haven't moved the needle at all. And I'm not saying Ariana needs to forgive him, but I'm also saying we need to do something with the show because we're not going to watch this forever.
It's honestly, it would have been really bad for Sandoval had she come back because he wouldn't have been able to get his weird fakakta like too soon apology tour. Had she come back, because people were already dangling the carrot of like, we want to understand you.
Yeah.
And I mean that from people in the cast. Had she come back, I think this would have been a total, total shift that would have created some interesting tension with Sandoval that he can't get out of. Because right now he's saying, I was just so in love with her. I'm just so upset, like pity me kind of energy. But had she been back and potentially been holding him accountable, but this is the land of make-believe. It just, what would have happened had this other thing happened, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And I really feel like they were setting up this season also assuming that they were going to get her to come back like halfway through. You can kind of tell, I feel like Lisa Vanderpump was kind of planting some of those seeds, like Lala, with even in that first episode when she's like reaching out to her. And I feel like all summer it was like a wish everyone was hearing, like she hasn't officially said no yet. Like it was, I feel like every outlet had different reporting and whether she was going to come back or not. And I think she was, you know, still in that treatment center when they started filming. So no one knew. And I think they really were holding out hope that they were going to have a big, you know, instead of Jax walking up like that and being the reveal, that would have been Rachel. So I don't know. I think the network also was really hoping to have her back just from as watching it. I think they were banking on her coming back. And then because she didn't, we're not getting payoff for any of this as viewers. Because one, we already know all of it because every cast member did like 65 podcasts. And because we're not getting her side of the story on the show, Tom is not a sympathetic character. Like, what is the point of even rehashing all of this?
What interest is there from an audience perspective in following Rachel's voice? Like, she has her own podcast now. And also Sandoval's done a lot of press. Like, what's the interest from the audience perspective in hearing their very different and separate perspectives, but like sort of their updated thoughts?
It's interesting. I mean, the Vanderpump ratings for the network are obviously really good still. And we have found, like, still decent success. It really just has to be something that moves the needle along at all. If it's just a rehashing, no one cares. But if it's like, I mean, we've covered a decent amount of Raquel's podcast and Rachel's podcast. And there's a reason. Like, if no one was reading it, we wouldn't listen to it. And I think the same thing for them. They're doing multiple episodes a week. They must be getting really high listenership. Like, someone is tuning in, or else iHeartRadio wouldn't be putting in effort to be, you know, doing as many episodes of that show as they are too.
I do wonder. So Bethany is producing Rachel's pod. I wonder, because Bethany recently, I believe, announced that she's no longer going to be recording Rewives.
Right.
But luckily for her, I think it was all in the same RSS feed. So it's like, not really, it's neither here nor there, but that she didn't want to focus on Housewives content because of, I guess, the reality reckoning and her new beginning in life. And I wonder for Rachel if and when she might come to the same decision of, you know, she's several episodes in, obviously the show is going on, if she wants to fully focus on potential commentary about the show and sharing her experiences in that way, or fully sort of close the door, because I don't know how sustainable all of this is for her, not even from a content perspective, but just from the perspective of how she's utilizing her platform of like I want to focus on mental health and toxicity. It's hard not to indirectly or otherwise participate in that. Like, how much of what she's saying about the Scandoval is her reaction to it through a nuanced perspective, and how much of it is like seeking revenge?
Yeah, no, that's such an interesting question. I remember listening to the first episode, and it was kind of presented as, we're going to get through a lot of it's Rachel's first time speaking, except for, you know, the Bethany podcast. So like, we're going to give you the answers to the questions you need. They did rehash kind of the whole thing, but it also was presented as like, and then we're probably going to stop. Like, she's like, I'm going to watch the show, check in with like my therapist stuff, and I might make a comment here or there. But it wasn't like presented as like, Rachel watches VPR. That wasn't like,
yeah,
it wasn't presented as a watch along show, but it's very quickly turned into that. And I don't blame her. Her name is dropped on every episode. It's her prerogative. But it also, for me, just goes back to, I know it's like, not for me to say, but it kind of just feels like she should have just gone back on the show. Like, it would have, like, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't think this is going to last forever, because eventually they will move on and stop talking about her. And then if the show was established as like a VPR response episode, no one wants to hear her response if she's not the topic. And also, I feel like we get to a point as a society where we love to hear behind the scenes stuff, right? But then sometimes we like to pretend and just watch it, which is, I think, very interesting, because sometimes you want to know everything and they're picking the cameras back up and this or that, and it's fascinating. And then other times you want to just be able to judge what you're seeing on the screen and not always have to be like peeling back the layers. I think about that with The Bachelor a lot, where it's like the editing, they get caught all the time, like editing, or like something gets, you know, Frankenbite more so than on a Bravo, or the rose ceremony airs out of order. And or you have to think, like, you'll have someone like Reality Steve who's been doing this forever, and he'll reveal like they actually filmed the fantasy suites this way, which could change maybe how The Bachelor acts, and then they air them a different way. And I only bring this up to say, when I comment on The Bachelor, I feel like I'm always like going between two different versions, because I want to just comment on what's on the screen, and I want to be like, that girl seemed crazy, and within reason, you know what I mean? But then you always have to be like, well, maybe they edited it and give it the benefit of the doubt. But sometimes I just want to watch the show and not think about all the things we know now, because the way we watch TV now is so different than the way we used to. And I just, that show specifically, but with Bravo too, because they started breaking the fourth wall, because every cast member has a podcast or goes on Amazon Live and tells you what really happened. Half of it now is, I feel like, the audience like pacing, putting together like continuity with like the cool thing with the dog. Like, it was like, is that really how it happened? Because whoever had confirmed it, that the dog was reunited at Tahoe, but then we saw it the other way. Like, things, everything becomes a conspiracy theory.
Right.
And sometimes I wish we could just like watch the show and comment on it. But like, it's all, you know, now Rachel's perspective and this person's perspective, and Sheena fires back, and nothing is just like watched on the show anymore. And there's pros and cons of that.
I think that's fascinating, because it's also for you as a viewer. I mean, you're covering this stuff, but for you as a viewer, what are you in a position where you for yourself get to make the decision of like, OK, I'm going to watch this once for me and then once for work? Like,
that's usually how I do it. Yeah.
Once for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So have you felt since you started covering all things Housewives, when did your journey begin as a Bravo viewer? And how have you felt about being a Bravo viewer since it has become a huge part of your profession?
So I dabbled with Bravo. Like, I used to watch like Below Deck marathons, or like would catch like an NYC prep marathon. Like,
oh,
like literally,
my God.
Yeah, like back in the day.
Oh my God. Excellent. Excellent
random
television
stuff. But was not watching it like all the time by any means. Like back when like Style Network was like a thing and I would watch like all that kind of stuff, I would just pick a week, whatever was on that weekend, I would watch. So I was very aware of it, but I didn't really watch Housewives. And I remember when like Teresa flipped the table, it was like a big deal. I'm from New Jersey and everyone was talking. That was back in the day when like Jerseylicious and Jersey Shore, like everything had New Jersey in it. So like I was very much aware of it. But when I was in college, I think season 3 of Vanderpump Rules was airing, and that was actually the first show that I started watching. So I watched Vanderpump Rules first, and then I went back and watched Beverly Hills. And then I went back and watched Orange County from the beginning, and I've seen everything through the beginning. And I actually went in like order of how it was like airing. So I was like, oh, I watched Vanderpump Rules and then to Beverly Hills because of the connection, obviously.
Right.
It was like when the Stassi, I think like Stassi was just about to quit. So season 3 or 4 of Vanderpump was on. And
oh, when she quit the
when
first
she quit
time.
The
oh,
first
right.
time.
Because of that guy.
Yes.
I think because of that guy.
Yeah, Patrick, question mark.
God.
And then I went to Beverly Hills because of Lisa Vanderpump of it all. And then I was like, okay, I'm one of those people who is all in or not. Like, I can't just like hop in. Like, even if you're telling me it's a show that, like, the cast changes from season one to two, I'm still watching season one. Like, I can't.
Good for you.
I don't know why.
Good for you.
I think I just have, like, an addictive personality.
I love it. Welcome.
Yes.
You're so safe here.
So then I went back and I watched Orange County and then whatever came next, Atlanta. Like, I went in the order that Bravo had presented the Housewives to get caught up. So basically that was, like, all of college. And then when I got my job at Us, I was pretty much there, like, caught up with everything. And the first Bravo person I interviewed, you're gonna die, is,
can you tell me Bethany Frankel? I'm
no,
gonna lose
no,
my shit.
No,
if that's
no,
your
no.
number, if you get that, if you get her first,
no, it's nothing like that. It was, I was literally 23 years old. I would talk to anyone, of course, still would, by the way. And I was, like, just wanted to get my foot in the door, but there's a ton of people at Us that know Housewives, obviously. And it was season five of Vanderpump Rules, or six, maybe six. I think it was six. I know we don't care about numbers.
Vale?
No, it was Jesse Montana, because he was the person who told Brittany that Jax fucked Faith on that season
premiere.
That
is such a deep cut.
I know. And I was like, I'll talk to him. I don't care. I'll talk to, because I got the premiere screener and they're like, yeah, that guy. And he had been on the show on, he's still on the show on and off. He's friends with them. He works at Sir Pump or one of them. And he has, like, a music career. And they were like, do you want to talk to him? Like, he's, like, the one who tells. I can't remember if it was even through Bravo or it was through, like, his personal.
I'm
going to
think it was through his personal.
Probably. Yeah. And my boss at the time asked me, and I was like, I'm not saying no to anything, which I think whenever anyone asks me for, not that I'm anything, but whenever anyone asks me for, like, journalism advice, I'm like, well, just say yes to literally anything because you never know. And I remember that story, like, did really well because that was such a big deal, because that was an example of something that didn't leak. When that episode aired, it was a huge deal that Jax had hooked up with Faith.
Rotten hell.
Rotten hell. And we had had an exclusive of the guy who told her, and he was very candid about what he knew, why he said it, yada, yada. And I remember being like, this is so crazy. And then I think my first housewife was Cynthia Bailey. But
oh, my God.
Yeah. But that just makes me laugh all the time. I'm like, Jesse Montana, like, where you at? Like, let's hang out.
Do you have a dream housewife who you would love to interview?
Ooh.
And it might not be because you love them, but you just think the opportunity of it, or you personally have questions for them, or you think they're a piece of shit and would love to drag. Like, what's,
oh my God,
what's, who's on your, like, dream list?
That's a really good question. It used to be Bethany before she lost the plot. I feel like because of BravoCon, I've gotten at least, like, a second with the majority of them at this point.
But Bravo was like, you have however
this
much
is
time.
Your sit down. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Oh my God. I don't even know. That's, like, so scary to think about. Like, so exciting. I feel like every time I've talked to Tamara, it's been even short. Like, she says so much without saying it. And you just know, like, she's great. She's a great interview. Even, like, I talked to her about Traitors, and, like, she was only, and it was only, I'd only seen the first episode, so I didn't know she, like, wasn't really going to be that much of a thing.
Right.
The way she made it seem, like, I thought she was going to be the main character. Like, I left that interview being like, Tamara is going to win the Traitors. Like, she literally wasn't even on the show. So she is someone who always throws shade, always delivers, and, like, speaks just, like, with her chest, and, like, says, like, these crazy absolutes, and then, like, literally the next season, like, I remember at BravoCon, I interviewed the Trace Amigas together, and then after, like, I never would have get the way they were speaking that it was all going to fall apart so shortly after, even though Vicky and Tamara did get into, like, a mini fight while we were talking. It's just crazy. So maybe Tamara, because she's also seen so much and, like, has come out, and she would be, like, such a great, like, all bets are off. But I don't know. That's such a hard question. Any of them, obviously, I like talking to.
Tamara's a great pick, and I've asked other hashtag writer girls, and I think she's been, like, the top.
She's just a good
choice.
Interview.
And she's also had such an interesting arc. Mm-hmm. Like, we talk about the ways that marriage is viewed and criticized and very, very sometimes seemingly helped in the ways that they're coached or do believe genuinely. I mean, there's no greater example of a marriage falling apart and coming back together and being saved because of the support of members of its cast in Married to Medicine season five. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, like, the single great. I don't know if you watch Married to Medicine.
I don't. It's so bad. It's a blind spot.
It's the best. It's, to me, the single best show on Bravo.
Okay, wow.
Like,
wow.
Full stop. You can criticize certain seasons, I guess, but it's just the, and you have every right to, but the level of success on Married to Medicine to me is just superior than everything else. And there are real, genuine relationships, absolute stakes. The kids are all incredible. I mean, the storytelling is great. They're the funniest show on Bravo.
So you can look at the way Dr. Simone and Cecil's marriage fell apart and came mm-hmm. back together. But also you think about Tamara and Simon, and it's like, that was a very, I want a divorce in
that
the limo.
That was so dark.
That was a dark, there have been dark, sad, upsetting moments. And I
all
think
all the stuff with her kids.
All the stuff with her kids. And I think the difficulty sometimes for viewers, maybe not in the situation with Tamara and Simon, is like when you see these dark, upsetting moments in a relationship and they're saying, well, we kind of figured it out and we're staying together, because you're watching the reality here and the reality feels too dark for that kind of spin.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. I think the difference between Tamara and a lot of housewives is, even if she ever went into a season, which I don't think she necessarily does, but, you know, they all go into, you go into a season, from my understanding, they have like storylines-ish planned out with the producers. Like, they know what they're there to capture. They'll change it if they have to, obviously. But I feel like with Tamara, even if she went in hoping, okay, I'm going to lay under the radar, or I'm not, whatever, like, she really can't help herself. Like, it takes, I feel like, 2 seconds for those cameras to go up and she says what she's thinking, whether it's in her own life or with one of the other women. And she does it in a way where she's also able to move on and forgive. And like, there's just something about a housewife that can like be so intense and whatever, but I think it's because she believes it. And that's the difference. And when you're like faking something, and when you have to like follow your own narrative, like, she's just doing it. Like, this is just Tamara.
But do you think if you're friends with Tamara, who is great TV until she becomes too much, like, she needed to go on pause. It was too much.
For sure.
But do you think you could ever fully trust her?
Probably not. Probably not. If I was an Orange County housewife, no.
So that's the difficulty of, like, how much of this friendship is then tongue in cheek?
But I think because they're in it, it's different when they're in it. Like, we're watching from an outside perspective. Like, why would they forgive each other? We know they're forgiving each other because it's a show. But for them, the show is their reality. So I think they, like, are living in an alternate universe where they know they have to forgive each other. And they're actively choosing to ignore the reasons they shouldn't. Whereas, like, in our real life, we have to be like, okay, this is nuts. But does that make any sense? Like, they know that they probably shouldn't forgive each other. But you're doing it for the show, and then you start to you just move on. And like the next thing you know, you are believing it. You're having fun. They do laugh. They do have a good time. It's like Kyle and Lisa Vanderpump all those years. Like,
yes,
they actively would every other season. Literally, if you rewatch Beverly Hills, it was every other season. Kyle and LVP on the outs, friends on the outs, friends. And it's because they were making the choice. The seasons they were friends, especially Kyle, was making the choice to just, from my perspective at least, was making the choice to forgive Lisa for the sake of the show, and to just turn a blind eye and move on. And then the next season, something would happen and they would be on opposite sides again. And then they would rehash and you'd realize they never got over the stuff from 5 years ago. But then they would put it aside. Like, they're just actively choosing to forgive each other for things that most people wouldn't do. And they're not actually forgiving each other, though, because then when the shoe drops, it comes back up. So I think it's just a different way of, like, living your life. And I think that that's what happens with, like, Vicky, Shannon, and Tamara all the time. Is they forgive each other for stuff, and then it goes too far again, but then they always get there. Tamara, the original, like, Tamara and Shannon was Tamara and Gretchen.
Ugh.
Which I know right now they aren't, never, whatever, but they brought Gretchen back on that show. Tamara always says that that's the one person she would never, like, forgive. I think she would.
Yeah. I mean, you know where your bread is buttered. I think Tamara knows better than anybody. It's not a matter of her staying. I don't think it would come down to that. But I also think she knows how to make magic. And some of that can be difficult and sharp, but you got to kind of latch onto it while you can.
Paris is always a good idea. And when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic, c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravo-holic, for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo. And when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth. And when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon, c'est bon. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions, just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code AndysGirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com with code AndysGirls for 10% off today. And thank the Jills Aaron and your life and mine.
I do want to ask you a question because I saw a clip. You might know what outlet it was with better than I would, but I saw a clip. It might have been with Access Hollywood of Kristen in the middle, and it was Jax on one end.
I think it was E! News.
Okay, E! News. Thank you. And Brittany on the other. And the interviewer was attempting to ask about this announced separation, which caught many of us off guard, yeah, especially with the timing and the lead up to the premiere. And Jax shuts it down so passionately. That's too grandiose. But he's just like, I'm not going to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't feel like it. And then there's this split second and Brittany goes like, essentially, well, I will. Mm-hmm. You don't want to talk about this. I'm happy to talk about the tension in our marriage. And it was a fascinating moment because Jax, I think, wants this more than anyone when it comes to the Valley. But I wondered for him, he's not one to not give a quote. His silence, I think, was a quote. And it just made me feel a certain way. I was curious for your reaction to the news of their split, mm-hmm, and to the feeling amongst the Bravo audience, at least initially, that maybe this was something being used to stir up attention for the Valley premiere and where we are now.
Yeah. I mean, I think with that clip specifically, Jax is one of those people that you really never know what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. While he does like offer shady commentary and stuff all the time, I could see that being, I don't know, interview number 1,000 that they had done that week.
That's
and getting
true.
The same questions over that's and over very, and over again.
That's a really good point.
Because if you watch a press line, it can be really crazy, like, especially when a show's premiering like this. Like, they have done, I mean, I don't know, I'm not them, but I imagine endless press for this show. And they are getting these questions over and over and over again. And from what we do know, or what we think we know, Brittany was the one who wanted the separation, moved out. So she is happy to talk about, you know, because she has the answer. She knows what she wants. I think Jax doesn't want this, which is why he tried to, you know, when he told TMZ, like right after it came out, and he was like, she's already back in the house, which like wasn't true. Jax, I think, can't help himself. Like, things just come out of his mouth that either one, he wants to believe, or he thinks he's going to quiet it. I think that made it worse because that made people think it was fake even more when he said that. But I think that was just a moment of Jax having fatigue of like, we've been doing this press line for a week and I'm like sick of talking about this. Because you really do see that even sometimes at an event, like you'll see someone, a Bravo celebrity especially, get halfway down a press line and just walk away. And you find out later, usually it's just because they're sick of answering the same question over and over again. Like at BravoCon, when Lisa Rinna got booed, she made it halfway through the room and then she was like, I'm out. Like, I don't want to be asked about this. If I've been fired, like how many freaking times am I going to answer your question? But every outlet wants their own version of the question. Obviously, we can pick each other up, but everyone wants it on their camera, wants it, whatever. So I feel like that's what happened there. When I heard the news, I mean, obviously, the timing can be seen as suspicious, but I almost think it's also because people started caring about Jax and Brittany again. Like, if this happened 6 months ago, the Valley wasn't a thing, we wouldn't have cared. So I think that I do believe it's real. I don't, maybe I'm naive. I think it's legit. And I also think that we're going to see tension between them on the Valley. And I think maybe Brittany being back in front of cameras, like, gave her a voice again. Maybe so had her. Jax is probably his worst self when he's filming the show. Like,
when he's not. No,
totally. But like, imagine, like,
yeah,
maybe she, a couple of minutes away from the camera, they had like a normal life for a second. Then the second they're thrust back into it, I'm sure all of their issues were brought like back to the surface. I mean, it's amazing she's been with him this long. Like, I don't know. I think that it does make sense that redoing reality TV would bring out them separating. And that other couple from the Valley also broke up.
Right.
Which is like crazy.
That really shitty guy.
Yeah. I mean, watching the first episode, you're like, oh, if you had to pick which is the other couple that broke up.
It's like not funny. He's a genuine asshole.
No, I know. I know.
He's really arrogant, that guy.
Yeah. So I think it's just like a toxic little show that they got working. And she maybe like found her voice again and was like, I'm sick of you. If they had stayed on Vanderpump, would they have stayed together this long? Like, who knows?
Well, sometimes I think it's so complicated, but I think when you are fired from a show and you want to stay on it and that was your primary source of income,
yeah,
and then there is some sort of obvious like financial emergency that seems to take place because you lost your job and it was a very high profile job, your quality of life expenses I'm sure are significant, that will create and open up such a level of tension in a relationship, let alone a marriage with a young child. Then years later, you get another job, again, focused on your personal life. You're starting from the point of that underlying tension of like, what the fuck are we gonna do?
Yep.
And now you're back on TV with the show focused on your marriage. It's a little bit of a recipe for chaos, which is why The Valley
wasn't bad.
Yeah,
but it also goes back to I'm just so, what is happening over on Vanderpump Rules where they're all have no money? Why did Sheena need money from Sandoval? Why was Ariana claiming she was down to her last $2,000 before Scandoval?
I mean, welcome to my life.
No, I know, but like they're actively on Bravo. Like,
I don't have a multi-million-dollar house.
Right. I don't know much about, I don't know what they get paid, but what I do know is that the longer you stay on the network, the higher the paycheck goes. So if you're on your first couple seasons of one of these shows, fine. Or like, I think Stassi even said in one of her books that like when she quit, she had to start her paycheck over. Like, because on Vanderpump and like on Summer House, they get paid like, and the longer you stay on the show, the more you get. And they get paid, I think on Summer House, they get paid by episode. So like, at least the new people. So you don't make a lot of money in the beginning, but you're on season 10 of your show. You have like these deals. Like, why was Sandoval the only one who was able to, why was Sheena out of money? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
How was Sandoval able to go on
Why did
tour?
Sandoval have money and no one else did?
Maybe he was, I can't say with a straight face that he was making better financial decisions.
Right. But it seems he must have been, or like, I mean, I will say Tom and Tom, I mean, they were always doing separate press. They always were doing like their whiskey.
True.
They were going on press trip. Like they
that's
were
very
like
true.
Kind of their own. They, I mean, far be it for me to give them too many compliments, but they stayed working, those two.
Right.
And maybe everybody else on the cast was just like, we don't have to do this. Like this show is steady. And then when COVID happened and like mortgages, like, I don't know. It's shocking to me. It's like NBA. You hear about like athletes who like blow through all their money and then like get hurt. I guess that's what happened. But I'm just like, I don't know. Both Ariana and Sheena basically, and Kristen said on a podcast that Sandoval sent her money once. Like, why did he have all this money to send to them? But I feel like with Jax and Brittany, I'm sure that played a part of it. I'm sure they were spending like crazy. And then when Vanderpump got taken from them and they were in COVID, like it must have been like a huge strain.
And it's a different version of the thing we see on Housewives of like, prove your wealth, play wealth. We're going to endeavor ourselves to play a little game of how much money do you actually have? And then you might develop some sort of real wealth being on the show. But now you're in a toxic cycle of having to spend all of that money to prove you have wealth, to stay on the show, to accrue wealth that you're going to spend trying to play well. And by wealth, I mean rich, trying to play rich on these shows. VPR obviously initially was about people struggling to pay the rent. And like, you know, Stassi at one point talked about the fact that like she was just able to afford, I think while filming, just able to afford like what she was able to, like essentially family meals at Sir while she was filming because she was 100% broke.
Yeah.
And now we're at a different stage where like these people have houses that they've bought. They're dressing differently.
True.
They're talking differently. But we're also being led to believe that a calendar year prior, there was at least a cash flow issue.
Yeah.
It wasn't, I'm down to my last $2,000 and then I got to go. I mean, you have a house.
Right.
So when it comes to the cash flow of it all, I think that's just sort of a question. But I also think
they're at a different point now with how their lives are supposed to be looked at in terms of scale.
Yeah. And I think them not filming that one, because they took a year off technically during COVID, right? Or they didn't film that one summer. I don't know. There was like, it got delayed. So maybe like that really did, like they were all very much like on
That's a
their
great point.
Calendar year. I just thought that was so crazy that in the last like couple episodes that has come up a few times, whether it was on the show or like in press, that they all like were out of money. And I do think that would be part of Jackson Brittany's whole thing, an incentive to come back, but also at what cost? Because I would imagine filming that show didn't help at the sake of their relationship, but also was it a way for Brittany to maybe be like, okay, like here we go again, where these patterns are repeating. We've only seen one episode of The Valley, and it felt like nothing has changed.
Right.
And I mean, they've denied, I feel like, that cheating was part of whatever happened, but like hearing rumors about Jax again, like that couldn't have been fun for her. Like whether it's true or not, we don't even know what those are yet. We've only seen them in a trailer, but she's gonna relive all that. Gotta be a little triggering because every other time it was true. So I don't know. And now they have maybe also being a mom and looking at her 2-year-old son, she's like, whoa, this is not me drunk, getting in a drunk fight anymore. Like we're coming home and we have a life to take care of. Like the stakes are different. The story's the same. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. So I do believe it. Maybe I'm naive and, you know, it'll come out years later that that was fake, the way like your Heidi and Spencer, to bring it back to Spencer Pratt, who I somehow have brought up twice. Maybe not. But I don't know. I genuinely believe it. I don't think they're really gaining us also because they're not like credible narrators. Like, I don't know who would have advised them that people would have believed it. Also, like if they were sitting there hatching out this plan for it to be fake, do you think that most people in that room would have been like, yes, people are going to be like so ready to tune in and watch your marriage fall apart and believe you. Like, I don't think so.
And the reality is we are always going to believe that Jax is a piece of shit.
Exactly.
So I firmly believe that he has been, I'm sure, an unsupportive husband.
Right. Why is that a shock to people?
Right. And also the stresses of being back on TV and of having to prove whatever version of yourselves you're trying to show on this show and realizing ultimately you can't hide it. I mean, I'm sure that has an impact too.
Yeah.
He has to be a difficult guy to be married to.
Remember that season of Jax and Brittany Take Kentucky? Did you watch that?
I did not. I'm so sorry that I missed the movie magic style.
It's very Bethany Ever After.
I've seen that.
Yes.
Thousands of times.
Right. It's very much like when you watch that relationship between Bethany and Jason and you're like, oh my God, obviously both of them are the villains in that story. And I think sometimes we give Brittany a little too much credit. But the way, I mean, it's amazing that those two got married. Like Jax, that is like pure monster. Like it's really dark that like little 8 episodes were there in Kentucky for so many reasons. So if anyone watches that, if you want to look into, you know, not believing that maybe Brittany might have gotten to a point, obviously that was years ago, but like watch those episodes and you will be shook to your core. I know we saw a lot of Vanderpump, but I'm telling you, like the relationship with her family, the way he spoke to her family, the way he like spoke about her weight at the time, like it was really, really gross. And it's shocking they made it through that. I think they chalked it up to just like a bad time for them. But like maybe, you know, Brittany, like, again, having a kid, like, was like, this is different. And I think she even said in interviews, like, I have to know that I don't want to, like, represent this, whatever our relationship was, to our son as, like, a healthy marriage, because it wasn't. So, like, I think that that's part of it.
I mean, the way Jack spoke to Kristen about her decision to have kids was, like, to me, and we all know Jax, but I was uncomfortable watching it. It was a little much, and the upset that he felt at one point when she or someone else shot him down of like, this is not your choice. At one point, he just kind of, you saw him not freeze, but he just was like, well, fuck, like now someone's saying something about how I don't get to have a voice in this woman's reproductive system. He looked annoyed at the fact that he couldn't continue to do the thing that he just loves to do, which is to have a say and potentially control.
Yeah, that's so true. And the Kristen is so, it's such an interesting character we've seen all these years as well. And he could have, also the difference with Jax is like, he doesn't go about it the way that a lot of people would be like expressing concern about how fast this relationship is moving or something. Instead, he made it like, Kristen's not ready to be a parent. I'm a parent. I know what it's like. Like he did it in the most unlikable way because that's what Jax does. And the way where it comes off, like he's literally not comes off. He is telling her what to do with her body, which is ridiculous. And like it loses any points that he could even possibly ever have of like, okay, Kristen, like maybe we're moving a little quick with new homeboy. Like she didn't, he, because Jax is not someone you want to root for, you can't even, but like some of his, the point of her like moving on quickly gets lost because you're just like, oh, you're being an asshole.
Yeah.
But like Kristen, that is, it's crazy. Her journey is also so crazy.
To see her go from that house to this apartment.
It's wild. It's chilling.
It's genuinely chilling. I mean, talk about starting over, money stuff, everything else. You went from, and you're saying it's because your boyfriend convinced you and then you guys were going to move in and spoiler alert, that didn't work out. And now you're just kind of stuck. It was tough. It was tough for me to watch. I wanted more for her.
I did too.
Than this kind of do-over in this way.
Yeah. It's also so interesting because we didn't really, the boyfriend in the middle, this Alex, we didn't really know as Bravo fan. Like he came, I feel like towards the end, she like just started dating him. And then she was like on her Instagram and stuff. But like it was the seasons we didn't have Kristen. Mm-hmm. And now we have the new boyfriend, Luke. Is that his name? Mm-hmm. I think it's Luke.
I think. Luke from Colorado.
Luke from Colorado. So we, it's interesting for us because we don't even know who this person that Jax is like clearly on that his team. He's team Alex and seemingly going to bring him on the show, which again, doesn't look like a bad season. But it's also just an interesting perspective that we followed Kristen for so long, but we did miss this big chapter. And clearly a lot's changed for her. But also we're right back where we started. So it's like this very interesting place for her to be in. But also the viewers missed a huge chunk. Like we don't really know if this Alex guy, you know, like whose side we would be on if we watched that relationship, for example. But we're picking up with this new relationship that's kind of being presented to us as she's moving on really quickly. But we didn't see the last guy. So like who we're going to trust, Jax? It's interesting.
It's so tough. I mean, the Bravo, there's an ebb, there's a flow. Did I ask you what to you was the most shocking, aside from news coverage that like Us has covered, what to you just personally as a Bravo fan was the most shocking news piece that came out? Like what to you was either your favorite or just the thing that elicited the biggest reaction?
That's a good question. I mean, Scandoval was obviously huge. The Erica Tom divorce on election day was really big. One, because it just went the way when something goes from divorce, which was a shock just because it was like, as Garcelle said, I didn't really think she was going to leave him that way. Like kind of thought it would just happen naturally. Sorry. So it was kind of, I'm sorry. So it was a shock for that reason. And on election day, I was like, oh, interesting. Like Erica Jane, like trying to beat the media cycle, filing for divorce on election day. Like that was fun. And then I remember when those like, whenever something gets legal, it's so fun for me because I like to pretend I'm a lawyer. And when I go through court documents and I'm like reading them, and I remember talking to the lawyers at Us Weekly being like, okay, like, what is this saying? Because, like, I can read a divorce document. I can find your child support payments. I can figure out what, you know, Easter or Christmas, who's getting what kid based on a court document. I was like, what is the Lion Air flight? Like, I remember trying to read these documents, and it was really interesting to cover to try to figure it out. And because it lasted so long and is still technically lasting, I would say the beginning of that was just fascinating. Because even then you go back to, like, sometimes the story is bigger than the people, and it was just such a shocking story. And then you even have Tom Girardi being like, I remember calling my mom being like, the guy who Aaron Brockovich is based on is married to South, like talking it, like whenever something breaks through the Bravo world, I just love it. Like how Scandoval did, like it becomes bigger than it is. And like as Bravo experts, we get to be like the authority on it, but the whole world's talking about it. Like that is always fascinating to me. So that, or like even Jen Shaw's legal stuff, I don't know. I whenever it gets legal, it gets dark and it's not as good on the show. But in the news perspective, it's fascinating to me.
It is also going to be an interesting journey if Beverly Hills is recording when his trial begins.
I know.
How they're going to handle the coverage of the trial, seeing the way that coverage of the initial shocking, you know, drop in the LA Times of it all was covered. I wonder how Erica herself is going to figure out a way through this when it becomes more difficult to deny the reality of his really heinous crimes.
Yeah. And she's been so interesting to watch. I mean, obviously, like she's gone on, I feel like there's been so many different the last couple of years have been so focused on her. And then this season specifically, because of Kyle Mauricio and Morgan Wade and like yada yada, she kind of got to take a back seat for a second. And like this was like the Erica we saw years ago with a little bit dabbled in here and there. Mm-hmm. But also I think the viewers were sick of it. So like they didn't focus on it as much. But it's not over. Mm-hmm. And so she's kind of got to be like through it to some degree with the special, with the whatever, whether she was actually successful in Vegas or not. The way she's being presented to us is like a positive character again. And then will this go right back down to and rehash everything? Mm. I don't know. And I mean, I gotta say, I don't know, whatever. I wasn't there, but I like a housewife that shows up. You gotta give her props. She hasn't quit the show. She's not answered certain questions, but I think that is also because she legally couldn't. It's been rehashed a million times. Like, I respect her for showing up a lot more than any of the housewives that quit or ran away when things got tough. Like, I don't know. Whether she had the right answers or not, she didn't most of the time. She was still there.
She also desperately needs the show.
Yeah,
she desperately needs the show, but she also has a lot of additional value, which is sort of dark when you think about it, but also just the reality of doing reality TV when someone's reality becomes such a huge part of the public conversation, and not from a pop culture perspective, yeah, but from a legal one, that person is going to have renewed value, especially if you're imploding while filming and saying, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, no, that was so crazy.
It was a wild moment. Can I just ask you one extremely complicated question before we wrap?
Yeah.
So we've both watched Buying Beverly Hills.
Oh, yes.
And a big part of fans online and engaged in conversation and people watching has been about the actual leak on July 3rd, 2023, yes, of Kyle and Mo's split. There has been a little bit of like this mystery, uh-huh, of how that information became available. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, man. I mean, I don't know, because Kyle is an interesting character because she seems so genuine. Like, I think Kyle, for the most part, compared to a lot of other housewives, like, isn't lying, is very genuine, and like who she is on the show is, sometimes she has the answer, sometimes she doesn't. Obviously, this Morgan thing has been interesting, but that specifically, I think if Kyle knew who it was, she would say at this point. I don't know. I think back then everyone was talking about their marriage. Like, there was speculation about it. It wasn't like actually out of the blue, I feel like, the way they kind of try to make it seem.
That's true.
Like, it wasn't that April, like, Mauricio was doing press for that book, and he was like, it was out there that like it was going to be on the show, that they were talking about them. And then there was those weird, like, even Dorit, PK, all that craziness, but like those rumors last year that like weren't real, I don't think. So I feel like, I don't know. Long story short, I imagine people had really, really strong sourcing, and they were clearly right, and they went for it.
Oh, people. I thought you meant like People's in.
No, like People Magazine. Yeah, like People Magazine had really strong sourcing. It was probably someone very close to the situation.
Yeah.
And I do believe that that's what it was. I don't think it was Kyle or Mauricio, because I don't think they would have been able to. It definitely wasn't Mauricio based on his reaction. But I don't think they would have been able to sell. Like, they're too transparent. Like, they're not leaking their own stuff. I really don't think so. I mean, I think any reality person or any celebrity ever has probably had a dabble with the press of, you know, their own kind. But I do think that it was just someone who was very close to them who, you know, confirmed what everyone else was already saying.
That's the weird thing, too, because we were talking about friend circles and the fact that, like, you're trying to forget certain things in order to continue doing your job, in order to have stakes and to show that there's affection. But if this is this thing that's happening now on reality TV, and there is someone quite literally from your IRL friend circle who we may or may not have seen on Housewives, who played a really big role in the rollout of the shitstorm that happened on July 3rd, 2023. I mean, that has to make a person feel a certain additional level of paranoia about who it is that's saying this stuff.
Which it seems like that's what really plagued Mauricio. Both on Beverly Hills Housewives and on Buying Beverly Hills, I feel like the undertone was like, and in Kyle's interviews was like, Mo is really upset that this news is out there. And then she was like, that's why I put out that statement, to be like confirming part of it and get it, like, so the speculation stops. Obviously, it didn't really stop anything, but it was so chilling to me that that's what, like, the focus, because I think Mauricio has always been quite likable, Anne on Buying Beverly Hills is quite likable. But when you really think about it, you're like, why was he so worried about it being out there? And then became the one to like reconfirm it. Did you get to the end of Buying Beverly Hills? When he's like, when that, the era, they pick up the cameras when that TMZ video came out, when he was on Dancing with the Stars of
all things.
And he said, like, I want to clear the air. We are separated. And the girls are like, what the fuck?
But he didn't tell. He didn't
tell. He was like, I assume Kyle told you.
He hadn't told the kids. So he told TMZ cameras and then says in conversation with his, with three of the four daughters, Portia wasn't there for this like very tense scene. It says, I thought Kyle told you. The fact that there was still no conversation happening between him and Kyle does say a lot, but also like, the fact that you just were comfortable assuming this huge thing because you just assumed. I don't know why you would.
No, that to me was shocking because also he, I mean, Mauricio going on Dancing with the Stars was so confusing to begin with.
Yeah, it was a cry for help.
It was a cry for help, but you watch that
and
show.
And a tango.
And a tango. And you watch that show and all you see is like him talking about how busy he is and how stressed he is. And like, clearly the agency is a very, very successful business. I will say, the office in Hoboken did just close. There was one in Hoboken for some reason, and it is up for rent. They're claiming to be moving to Jersey City, so that's some breaking local agency tea from Hoboken, New Jersey, everyone. But anyway, it's a very successful network, a very successful thing. He's filming two reality shows because he is on Beverly Hills. He's doing this. He's an actual father to these daughters he's working with, and supposedly a husband. He wrote a book. And then they were like, yeah, let's go on Dancing with the Stars, where TMZ is going to wait for you outside of the rehearsals. If you wanted to be in hiding, you don't go to Craig's and you don't go on Dancing with the Stars. That's where TMZ hangs out. Like, I'm sorry. Like, those are the places that people are going to ask you these questions. So the fact that he, one, put himself in the situation to do that is a really weird red flag. And also that he tells TMZ, confirms they're separated after kind of spending months trying to deny it, and then the girls didn't know. It's really shocking because you watch the show and one part of you is like, oh my God, they're so close. It's such a beautiful family business. And then you're like, wait a minute. Dad told TMZ that we're separate. Mom and him are separated and didn't tell me.
They're close, but not connected in the ways that ideally kids are able to talk about stuff that's uncomfortable to discuss. It does to me actually make a ton of fucking sense that he would be so upset about people finding out about this rupture in his marriage when that family structure, according to the kids who say this multiple times during the show, is like, we are not prepared to have uncomfortable conversations because we never experienced that as a family, to the extent that Sophia at one point is like, I can't talk to you, Dad, or saying it in confessional, but also to him.
Yeah.
Like, I can't talk to you because you're saying everything's okay. And I can't connect with that because for me, everything is not okay.
Yeah.
So when you don't open up with me, it makes sense that he would be so upset about this thing becoming so public because he doesn't, it's seemingly in the structure of their family dynamic, both Kyle and Mo greatly avoided having conversations with their kids that could be potentially tense. Now you have this on this global scale and you're dealing with the fact that, you know, Susan in Pennsylvania found out before Farrah did, or no, I think Farrah hadn't because she was older. Yeah. She had an inkling, but
Sophia, Alexia,
Portia weren't aware, and Farrah wasn't aware that the announcement was going to be made. I mean, who actually really knows? You know, it's just, it is a shit show. And I do also think it taps into this avoidant anxiety that he, like, spiritually, I'm not diagnosing anybody, obviously, but like this feeling that they had of like not talking about these things. Now someone else has decided for you that the conversation is going to take place, but they don't seem to give enough of a shit about you to ensure that you've told the kids, or they've decided that's not their responsibility to bear. That's on you, babe.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. Honestly, like, I'm glad Buying Beverly Hills came out when it did, like right when Beverly Hills ended, because even in a couple more months, I would have been like sick of this, but I thought it was a fascinating watch. As a Bravo fan.
And also the other characters. By the way,
it's still a good reality show just based on that.
Genuinely a good reality show. They figured out what the fuck happened with season one. Yeah. And they really, really, it's genuinely solid. You don't need to watch season one.
No, you
skip over it.
You
it don't. Does not
As
matter.
A purist, I recommend
As a completionist.
Too.
But yes, no, you really don't, you don't, truly. Or watch it at 5% while you're doing other shit in your life. Yeah, like fully. Right. It's, but season two is giving you some answers, or at least some information that may make some of this more nuanced. Can I ask you one more question? Then we are shifting over. But so Kyle has talked a lot about being hounded by the press and how upset she is with like her movements seemingly with Morgan being tracked, but a lot of the photo coverage of her when it goes up, wherever it could go up on Us or Daily Mail or People or wherever it is, maybe all three, is taken by these paparazzi agencies like Backgrid mm-hmm. that, to my understanding, are known for working with the celebrities they're shooting, where it's really not you're just being, you know, shot, your photo being taken outside of like a grocery store and nobody knew they were just lying in wait, waiting for Angelina. And then Kyle and Morgan are there. It does seem a little confusing that the agencies taking credit for these photos are one that are just known for working with celebs.
I don't know everything about paparazzi by any means. And I will say other outlets have much bigger photo budgets because they publish a lot of photos. But I think it's a misconception that every Backgrid photo is like a setup photo.
Okay, that's helpful. Yeah, that's helpful to know.
There's certainly celebrities that work with paparazzi. There's certainly, I mean, that's like obviously not a secret. But no, it's not like Backgrid. No, I think there could be outlets working with the agency that doesn't mean the celebrity's working with the agency. Also, you know what I mean? Like someone could know someone's going to be there, but that doesn't mean they know that they know.
Versus like the Toms being interviewed at the airport, that felt like a Google Cal situation.
A Google Cal.
You know, it's like, I'll see you at Tuesday at 3:15. Yeah. How are you doing? How was your flight?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a healthy mix of both. And I do think as a society now, we immediately jump to its stage. Mm. And I don't, and maybe I'm naive, but I don't think it's always as staged as people think. I think TMZ's got to pay the bills too. So they're going to be like, where can we go to get these people? If, we're in the middle of nowhere, sure. But if it's LAX, if it's anywhere out in Los Angeles, it's not a surprise that they're going to get these people. Like, that's their job. Some of these photo agencies and stuff are, if they get the picture, they can sell it out to outlets for a lot of money.
Yeah.
So they're also, like, hustling. They're not just getting called. It's not, if this was a couple of years ago, it would also might be a little different because outlets had more money. If you watch, you know, Framing Britney Spears, you'll hear a lot about the Us Weekly photo budget, what it used to be. I'm here to tell you, it's not that now.
Right.
Like, it's a different time. Like money, it's the photos and stuff. Also because of like Instagram, what people can post themselves. Like it changed the entertainment news landscape a lot. So no, I think it's a misconception to assume every single Backgrid photo is like a setup photo. I think Kyle obviously wasn't hiding from stepping out with Morgan. And if those photos had been taken, you know, and they upset her so much, why is she sometimes reposting jokes about them, like looking like Wayne's World? But at the same time, like at Us, we, you know, make a huge effort not to speculate about someone's sexuality until they make an on or off record denial. Like not every outlet's going to do that. Like it's definitely been an interesting one I would love for Kyle to write like a real book. I know she wrote a book, I'm sure, at some point. Write a real book down the line when this is done about like what she learned and how much her life changed because she's seen from the Paris Hilton of it all through being a housewife in a successful marriage to going through issues to potentially, you know, her own relationship with the media. Like she's a really interesting person that I think if she peeled back the curtain and there was no more stakes where she didn't have to worry about her relationships with whatever network anymore. Mm. Not that she's fake. I think she's genuine. And I do think that's why sometimes her answers change because she's just trying to do her best in the moment. But I think Kyle would be someone that would have like a great like book down the line about all of this.
Also, speaking of all things Morgan, it was really interesting to me when Mauricio says in the final episode in conversation with one of the people from the agency, like one of the senior people, that, you know, the person surely, you know, suggested by production, make sure you ask certain questions or maybe just wants to know.
Yeah, everybody like, was talking for you. And this is who is this Morgan person?
Right. And says, you know, what's going on with Kyle and Morgan? And Mauricio says, I don't know. I've never asked her.
That was insane.
And I also don't want her to I don't want her to feel uncomfortable seemingly in being asked, because if she's getting what she needs, I sort of don't want her to feel bad about that. Is a wild, nuanced, mature, surprising, confusing reveal from this man in a way that is just so guttural and unexpected, but also we get back to avoidant.
Yeah.
I think that plays into it too. Maybe he just doesn't want to know.
Yeah.
It's not just about helping Kyle. I think that there's an element here. This man has been married to her for almost 30 years.
Yeah.
Did not want to split. He makes clear to the kids
or to somebody that Kyle asked for
the
this.
The whole undertone of the season is like, this is Kyle's fault. That was kind of like my takeaway when I first watched it. And I was like watching all the way through to like take notes.
Or this thing happened to me.
Yes. Yes. He very much is like, his confessionals is very much Kyle fell out of love with me.
Right.
I'm realizing Kyle doesn't love me. And obviously it's Mauricio's show.
Right. It's his lens.
But on Beverly Hills, it was very much Kyle seemingly protecting both of them.
Mm.
And I got much more of Mauricio's whatever. But that was a very good moment, as you're saying, where maybe he's just trying to avoid it himself. Or maybe that's all we need to know is like everyone's like clamoring for these answers, even Andy at the Beverly Hills reunion, like what is happening with Morgan? I think Kyle's being genuine then when she's like, I don't know. Like, I understand. Like, clearly you guys are all picking up on something and I'm still trying to figure it out. I kind of think there might be truth to that. Because at this point, they're both saying it. That it's just like still going through it. Still going through the motions of what's really happening with herself personally and how she feels in her personal life and herself. Like, I think Kyle losing her friend, it all also comes back to that. Like,
yeah.
I think it was a huge disservice that they didn't include anything about her friend until like halfway through the season of the show.
100%.
It was completely misleading.
A terrible, terrible production narrative decision.
It made it seem like everything was about Morgan or her working out and Mauricio. Like, I think that made no sense.
Yeah.
As a viewer, like, you needed to have that right off the bat. Like, that changed Kyle's life forever.
Yes.
That's why she's making these decisions. It's not because of anything else. So I think that
A combination of many things, but it deeply affected her and some of her choices, seemingly all of her choices.
Yes. And I think that once they clued you in on that, it made more sense. But I don't think it was fair to Kyle, especially for somebody who's been on the show for this long, to leave that out until halfway through the season. But yeah, that line from Mauricio was pretty, that was a big one.
The access that we have into like understanding or at least watching things get more complicated on BBH is nuts.
We need them. I know, hopefully the rumor is they're picking up the Beverly Hills cameras soon, and I would like footage of Kyle watching buying Beverly Hills, please.
I think if it makes any sense in the world, and speaking of breaking the fourth wall, we sort of need to have Sutton, Garcelle, possibly Crystal asking questions or being like, hey, did you watch that episode of that show we're not going to name because it's on another network?
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. Then you lose a huge part of you can't ask me these questions because we're keeping things private for the kids when the kids are asking harder questions of their dad in front of cameras for episodes that anybody with an investment or curiosity has watched.
100%.
So listen, the story continues. In the meantime, Sarah Herron, can you tell the AGs where they can follow you on social, all that and more?
I am at Sarah Herron, H-E-A-R-O-N, on Instagram. And if you care about The Bachelor at all, go head over to Here for the Right Reasons. It's actually been a very fun season of the show. So check it out.
With that, what's his name? Joey?
Joey.
You never really see a Joey.
You don't.
And he's a Bachelor.
He's cute. And I don't know. ABC.
He's kind of dumb, right?
Yeah, a little bit, but like the perfect kind of dumb.
I love it.
Labradoodle.
It's
perfect. Yes. He's a golden retriever.
Okay, phenomenal. I'm into that. You know what else I'm into? You follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. Join the Andy's Girls Patreon, number one way to support the pod. Get exclusive bonus episodes like a forthcoming Satchel Spectacular and so much more. So listen to that at patreon.com/Andy's Girls. And Sarah Herron, thanks so much for being on AG.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening. And we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.